我的 hand clap。 Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout amen. And somebody shout, ouch.
Ouch.
Went a little lower there, but it's okay. But we're kind of going that direction here tonight. We know the hallelujahs, we know the amens, and I better know the ouches. Talk back at me, somebody. Ooh, hallelujah. Man, I love what I feel in the house, this praise and worship. She's a Mila. I told her earlier today, if you take up, go ahead and preach. hallelujah. Amen. It is a never ending. And we just got through with 4 weeks of lessons. Not these lessons that I'm about to give you. They made total. See, I brought with me about 250 pages on prayer. So. And but I brought you folks 60 pages. And we've done about 19. So we'll see how far we get tonight. Amen. But I gave them about 80 pages in 4 weeks. So, amen. But this is totally different. Changing your world through prayer 2021. Amen. Praise God. Get excited, man. Get excited. Come on now. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the King tonight. We're just going to rehash the verses that we have been talking about in the last few years, the basic scriptures we have been using. And then I'm going to give you another one. During the 24-hour prayer meeting we had here some weeks back, and we're going to do some more praying as the camp meeting approaches. Brother Minister Mike Glover got my attention to a scripture here, and then that we're going to talk about. We're just going to add, as they say, another brick to the wall. Okay. Not the song. Don't go acid on me now. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, it's a good crowd tonight. Y'all smile. Hallelujah. Amen. The scripture that we've been using is in the book of James chapter 5, verse 16b, last part. And as you're turning there, I want to once again thank Pastor and Sister Glover. Amen. All of their kindness for my wife and I through the years and this year, especially the pandemic year last year. I've said it again, but I never get tired of it, Sister Glover. Y'all been so good to us, along with the Bia family has. Amen. And all of y'all, the whole Sterling Pentecostal Church has been so good to us. Amen. And Brother Sister Murphy got back safely, brought some family with them from Texas. And we had a great service last night. Amen. Amen. You say, you get tired once in a while, but, you know, I can drive 2 hours, preach an hour, and drive 2 hours back. And it takes me 3 hours to go to bed. I'm so hyped up. Now, if you wouldn't get so bored and tired tonight, I'd do 2 hours. Right. Chill. Say, ouch. Yeah, we're getting there. Amen. Scripture says, James 5, verse 16b, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay. This is for some of you there. Are new, haven't gone through the scriptures yet, and most of us have. Another scripture in a different translation says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power. Ooh, man. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 17 and 18, rejoice evermore. Yes. Pray without
ceasing.
That's my Bible, folk. Mm-hmm. Verse 18, in everything give, for this is the
will
of
God
concerning
you.
Say me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That calls for a hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
That calls for an amen.
Amen.
And then the scripture that we talked about, Brother Mike, you're going to remember here in a minute. Amen. You just, boom. I mean, we're all caught up in that time there, you know, but it's in Psalm 109 in verse 4b. And it says in a different translation, but I give myself to prayer. Everybody say prayer.
Prayer.
Amen. Well, we're going to roll in a minute here. Okay? I know as apostolics, we're geared for high intensity sometimes, huh? But we got to slow down sometimes.
Yeah. That's good.
Hallelujah. And then verse 30a says, I will greatly praise the Lord with my mouth. Going back to verse 4b in the Amplified, but I am in prayer. NIV says, but I am a man, general term, man of prayer. Go back in the Amp in verse 30, I will give great praise and thanks to the Lord with my mouth. I think we sang a song about that here just a minute ago. And then in the SUV, in verse 30a, with my mouth, I will give great thanks to the Lord.
All
right. So you want to give him great thanks when things are going our way, but funky thanks when it ain't happening. Everybody say, ouch. Fantastic. Hallelujah. Amen. Now let me pick up where I left off the last time. Just give me a sec here. Hallelujah. I made a statement. I was in here praying an extended period of time today. I'll get to you here shortly, Jackson, you know, in the next few days. But I really needed just to spend some alone time with the Lord today. Amen. But we're going to hook up, baby. We're going to hook up because Jackson likes to come and pray with me. But we're going to hook up. We're going to hook up here next week. So, amen. And a statement came to me that I made here in times past. You may or may not remember it. But here it is. What worries you masters you. See, I'm not a prayer. Excuse me. I'm not a worry wart. I don't worry a whole lot. Somebody say, ouch. Because if you worry, that means you're a micromanager. Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Who said ouch? Sister Nanny, say ouch. Hey, gloria a Dios. All right. Confession is good for the soul.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Hallelujah, right? What worries you, masters you. Prayer with fasting and faith is the key. Training is expensive. Books are expensive. Going to seminars are expensive. We're fixing to have camp. Going to the hyphen and youth camp and family camp is expensive at times. But being stupid is more expensive. Hallelujah. Ouch. Y'all still with me here?
Yeah.
You ain't bored? Because I'm going slow?
Good.
Watch this. Pray and pay the price to learn. Pray fast. Read the Word of God. A good prayer that we all need to start off with several times a week is this: dear Lord. Everybody say, oh my.
Oh my.
Man, you're doing good here tonight. Wow. Hello, good, Bishop. Let's see if I can set this thing up here a little bit more. Hallelujah. Ooh. All right. Oh, we got this thing going here, huh? Okay. Okay. Go ahead.
You want it on?
Nah. I'm fine. Dear Lord, help me to be so full of you that I'm never full of myself. Lord, help me to carry my cross on my shoulder. Then there will be no room for a chip. Oh. I'm just getting started here. Chill out. I'm just getting started. We're going to say hallelujah. We're going to say amen. And most of the time we're going to say ouch. But that's okay, because I've been in a lot of ouches here today. The toughest enemy, ladies and gentlemen, the toughest enemy you will ever fight is your own flesh. Devils can be cast out, but flesh must be crucified. What are you tonight in this house? I pose to you the question: are you a born again Christian or a bored again Christian? It's going to get better. It's going to get better. I promise. I think. Hey, AJ. If you don't like me, that's okay. D-A-S. That's okay. Because not everybody has good taste. Hello. Oh, ouch. You don't have to be perfect to be amazing. Just look at yourself. I'm setting you up. You know that, don't you? You know that. You know it's coming. Huh? Why? I don't know, but you know, Brother Glover, he's got a good sense of humor too, you know. But watch this. My sense of humor is not for everyone. It's only for funny people at Sterling. Pray with passion. Don't worry over words. Why do I say that? Because God doesn't grade grammar. We sang it. Woo, I feel the Holy. He sang it. We sang it tonight, Bishop. He grades us on our heart, not our intellects, but our heart. He's after our hearts. He's after your heart, my heart tonight. He's after us. How can people that God has done so much for just turn from God and this apostolic truth? You gotta love truth. Amen. True love doesn't quit. Right. You quit loving this apostolic truth, you quit loving God when you start listening to other voices outside of truth, and you quit praying. Way too many are satisfied with talking about the call to a deeper prayer life. Very few are willing to make the sacrifice to pursue it and walk in it. Right. A key to effective prayer is to pray with expectation. Teresa of Avila, and I quote her. I might have quoted her before. I can find nothing to compare with the beauty of a soul and its infinite capacity. The soul is nothing but a paradise in which the Lord takes delight. She went on to say, we were born with great dignity and beauty. Our busy lives don't fit the Lord in our busy schedules. Make it, this relationship, a priority. She says, this relationship is the very cornerstone of our life. Surrender is the key word. Easy to say, but far more difficult to live. We wrestle with the Lord at every moment that we resist what is happening in our lives. It was said that when she passed away in 1582, that her body gave off the perfume of a rose. Huh? Wow. How's your prayer life?
Oh, God. Amen.
Ken Gurley, he said the old song here, Ken Gurley. He said, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall be my petition bear. To him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me to seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. W.W. Wofford, 1845. Wow. Bishop Gurley continues, prayer was once sweet. He says, yes, I said it. I say it too, Gurley. And he goes on to say, we once viewed prayer as a time to get along with God, the lover of our lives and souls. Another song he says we once used to sing was Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. This hymn began, he says, with the following lines. What a fellowship, what a joy divine. And this hymn drew from the description of the king's bride emerging from the wilderness, leaning upon the arms of her beloved. Song of Solomon, chapter 8, and verse number 5. He goes on to say, prayer for our forefathers was a retreat, a sweet hour of prayer to call them from a world of care. Prayer was a retreat. Prayer was a long time reserved for God. Back then, prayer was not warfare, but worship. That'll get us. Prayer was not militant, but intimate. Whoa. Prayer's language was one of the request and tenderness, not one of commanding devils and making war. Prayer's motive was love, not hate. In a world so filled with rage, we need to restore the true meaning of prayer. I say, yes, we do. Yes, we do, Sterling. Yes, we do. We need to restore the true meaning of prayer. Yes, we do. He goes on to say, oh, I know sometimes prayer is a struggle. We wrestle with heaven as Jacob of old. At times we wait for him for weeks on end, as Daniel did. And all around such prayers, battles are going on. Yet prayer is not always a wrestling match. Sometimes prayer is a spiritual retreat. More times than not, he says, when we minister to God in prayer, we are fellowshipping with the divine. We respond to an invitation from the King of the universe to come to the palace. Woo! I remember Bishop C.O.D.'s used to say, hey, the landlord has arrived. Oh, man. He says, Gurley, we are all, A-W-E, all. Is that right? Oh, my Hispanic gets in the way, okay? My Spanglish gets in the way. We are all, yet we also know he is our friend. We visit, we commune, we fellowship, end of a Gurley quote. So I looked up the word awe, A-W-E, an overwhelming feeling of reverence, admiration, wonder, and respect. Wow. Ladies and gentlemen, amen. I want to say to this congregation tonight, your mindset in prayer determines if you're headed for destiny or destruction. If you're going to take your game, talking about prayer tonight, your prayer life, to the next level, you and I got to change our mindset. You can't level up, talking about a prayer life, if you will not let go with where you at right now. Woo. Everybody go, woo! Everybody go, boom! They on the money tonight, Bishop. Yeah. Come on now. I mentioned this before, but it bears mentioning tonight. Because this still bugs me. Brother Mike, it bugs me. It still bugs me. In your prayer time with God, whenever that may be, when was the last time you were so stunned and shaken by the presence of God? Okay. When was the last time when you were praying that you made God sweat? Because I need an answer, God. I need an answer. And I'm not going to leave till I get an answer. I need an answer, God. Acts 4:31, you know it well. The place was shaken. Prayer. It was bold praying, Brother Glover. Praise and worship. It became the norm with the apostolic church. And then that the miraculous breakthrough came. It was supernatural power. You want some breaking news tonight? You want some breaking news tonight? God is driven by relationship.
That's right. That's right.
If that is true, how come we don't do it more?
All right. All right. God. Yes. Hallelujah. The Lord.
And God has put so much in us. I'll say it again. God has put so much in us that the devil has targeted it us for assassination. Why? Because he knows, Bishop, what we're capable of doing. He knows when we get a hold of prayer. He knows the power of prayer, the power of agreement, the power of faith, Sister Megan. He knows, and he's targeted. Why? Because the more anointing you people have, the more covering that you will need.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Whew. Your brokenness here tonight, I don't know how you came. Your brokenness does not disqualify you. God steal his home runs with broken bats. You got to catch that. I know it's baseball season. I guess it is. I'm talking about in the spiritual. Why? Because when you and I start to pray, it might sound something humorous, but it's the truth. I guarantee you. When you and I start to pray, the devil gets a headache. All right. Okay. Here they go again. Here they go again. Why? Because he knows what we're capable of doing, ladies and gentlemen, not only on a personal level, but as a corporate body of Christ.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Woo!
Glory to
the Lord. I'm supposed to be teaching, sorry. Because the flesh is not defeated with one prayer meeting. The apostle Paul was right when he said, I die. Wow. Flesh is defeated by a conscious effort every single day. And I'm not saying you got to pray 3 or 4 hours a day, but you got to pray. Because people have no need to have a prayer life, and they're not desperate because they have an independent spirit and want to do things on their own.
Good.
If I'm surrounded by people who don't correct me, then I'm surrounded by people who do not love me. I'm glad, as long as I'm here, I have a spiritual covering over me. And I don't get mad if you say, well, don't. I don't go that route. My spiritual covering. If he don't correct me at times, then he don't love me. If he corrects you, why you getting mad? Go find you an altar somewhere and pray that booger down. You're the one that's being cursed, not him. Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, God. You're looking at me kind of funny now. Looking at me kind of funny now. Says a nickel sick him. You got to pray, Lord, fix me, because sometimes Lamas is the problem. A lot of people, you know, social media is good and it's bad. But I'm tired of apostolic saying this kind of stuff, Pastor Glover. I'm tired of them saying this kind of stuff. A lot of people have this mentality. I got lots of hope. Or what's the use? Or I don't care. Now, there are right ways to use that, but watch this. Especially, I don't care. Mentality. Ladies and gentlemen, shed the victim mentality. You are a victor. You cannot achieve victory thinking like the victim. I'll say it again. I've said it before. You got royal blood flowing through your veins. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Come on.
Hallelujah.
Ladies and gentlemen, count your blessings, not your blisters. Every day, we are projecting an image that reflects our inner belief system. If your heart is set on Christ, you will want to be like him in all that you do, wear, and say. Can I have a hallelujah? Can I have an amen? And can I have an ouch? Kind of went down, but it's okay. Testing y'all out. Anybody know Bishop Tom Foster? Great man of God. Loves his cowboy hats. Loves his blue jeans. Great man of God. Pastor's a great church, and I've been up there to Dallas. There, great church he has there. And I quote him. He says, prayer will connect us to God, but fasting will disconnect us from our flesh. Anybody know Raymond Woodard?
Yeah.
Unbelievable, awesome man of God. And I quote him, if you want a great anointing, Shekinah, in your life, you need a massive altar sacrifice in your life. And really, the value of prayer, trying to look at my time, okay. The value of prayer is not measured by the clock. It is measured by my desire to fellowship with him. Always take time every day to say, Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And some folks believe that they are without sin and constantly don't pray. If you're not praying, folks, it reveals that you don't have an altar in your life. I believe, what is it? Steve Wimberly, he's gone on, passed on now, the great missionary to Singapore. Steve Willoughby. Amen. Watch this. This will stir you up. God replaced dead sacrifices because they had limited value. Dead sacrifices were too easy to forget. You gave it, felt the pinch, but then you walked away to forget it until the next time. It didn't nurture relationship, but a living sacrifice is different. It requires daily maintenance. Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. You don't get that by being too busy to pray. End of quote. Wow. Never give up on prayer. Never replace prayer with other gifts or talents. Revival praying is like childbirth. It's grown into being. If we are to pray with power, we must pray with intense earnest, throwing our whole soul into prayer. I can say it this way. How can we keep the fires burning? The fires of prayer and revival. We must constantly and conscientiously see God's face with all of our hearts. Spurgeon said this, and I quote him, too often we forget to thank God for answered prayer. Praise is the proper punctuation mark for an answered prayer. He goes on to say, the melody of prayer is best played with the notes of praise, adoration, confession, and thanksgiving. Sometimes we need to pray, folks. And I thought about this. Sometimes we need to pray, Lord, dawn on my darkness so that I can perceive what's lying beneath or below the surface that's creating disorder in my life. Because at times, you have to be like a sniper in the spirit. Yeah. You got to be like a sniper. Why? Because you got to find out what's causing chaos right. in your life. Okay. At what point do we stop asking God if he heard us and start asking if we heard him? When you call on Jesus in prayer, you've chosen faith over fear, peace over panic, and rest over reaction. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. The Amplified says, casting all your cares, all your anxieties, all your worries. Hello, micromanagers. Hello. Yeah. Yeah. Where's my ouches at? All your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns once and for all on him. For he cares about you, watch this, with deepest affection and watches over you very carefully. Ladies and gentlemen, I thought about this, Bishop. How can he care for you and I carefully if we're micromanaging everything in our life? And say, okay, Lord, just stay right there. I can handle this thing. I'll call you when I need you. I don't know how you work. When I was growing up, and I know you had all boys, you know, and I thought that, you know, my grandma, they're always hard on the girls. And I said, Mom, I said, you know, you're doing it the wrong way. You ought to be harder on your boys than your boy than you are on the girls. You let the boys get away with a lot of stuff. You won't let the girls get away with a lot of stuff. What's up with that? You worry more about the girl than the boy. Yeah, you better worry about the boy more than the girl. Boy. You get kind of, ouch! Why ain't no watching that bugger? Come on. What's this? The English version says this. Casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Good News Translation. Leave all your worries with him because he cares for you. The Passion Translation. Pour out all your worries and stress. Woo! And stress upon him and leave them there. Yes. Yeah. for he always tenderly cares for you. Daniel had a prayer life before being put in the den of lions. He knew who God was, Brother Mike, and how God worked. Get in your prayer closet. Get in your prayer closet. Now, so when your trial comes, you'll be prepared to take it on. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when. I know what I'm about to say. It's not no new revelation, but I was praying on October the 29th, 2020. And I won't get to a lot of this stuff here, but 8:38 p.m. And I was seeking God. It was during the crazy pandemic, more but not then than now. And this thought came to my mind. Now, this is not a new revelation, but I just want to remind you. Because he spoke it to my spirit. And this came to my mind, Brother Mike. 8:38 p.m., October 29th, 2020. Prayer will bring God to you. He was telling me, cast it right there. You pray. Your prayer is going to bring me down. Ken Gurley on the book of prayer. If prayer is simply to get answers, then today's believers can consult search engines, smartphones, and a host of new resources. Seeking God takes time. Asking Google does not. Gurley's on to something here. Gurley also says, let us not seek the hand of God more than the face of God. End of quote. Ian Bound says, prayer makes a godly man or a godly woman and puts within him the mind of humility, of self-surrender, of service, of pity, and a prayer. If we really pray, we will become more like him, or else we will quit praying. Again, Ian Bounds, prayer should not be regarded as a duty which must be performed, but rather as a privilege to be enjoyed, a rare delight that is always revealing some new beauty. Lady, and I thought about that. That every time we pray, every time we come before God, there ought to be some kind of new beauty there. A freshness. Why? Because I'm coming with another fresh commitment. Oh, beauty, beauty. Oh, Lord, beauty. I behold the face. I behold you. Oh, sweet hour of prayer. Sweet times. Because there's beauty in my struggles. There's beauty when he hasn't answered the prayer, AJ, the way I want him to answer it. There's beauty when I have to wait quite a while. There's beauty. Yes. I'll repeat what I said here before. Because God keeps wrecking llamas over and over and over and over and over and over again. And I finally learned that lesson. And now I can honestly say, ladies and gents, I don't have any more problem with God wrecking me over and over again. Because now, and it took me a while to find out, Brother Mike, because now, Sister Megan, I find the beauty in it. Ooh, I got to move. Hallelujah.
We pray things like, God, give me a heart like yours. You really want to pray that prayer? Do you really want to pray that prayer? I tell you a secret. I asked God to take me to Gethsemane one year. And I caught spiritual warfare chaos for 12 straight months until my wife finally said, okay. I've watched you for 12 months. I know what you prayed. And she said, next time, watch what you pray for. It's kind of humorous, but it was true. Hey, man, because you don't ever want to go into Gethsemane. Because if scripture says, and the disciples were there, he says, and he went a little farther. But catch this, the disciples didn't go a little farther. And he went a little farther. Because if we really went a little farther in Gethsemane, you and I would not be able to handle it. God, give me a heart like yours. Okay, you want to pray that? That's fine. But be ready for that answered prayer. And be ready how God chooses to answer that prayer that you just prayed. God, give me a heart like yours. Now, let me flip it around. But we avoid the situations he tries to put us in to build our character to be like his. Huh? Okay. Don't blame God or the church or the pastor for the outcome of your own actions. I've said this before. I'll repeat it again. If your sins are getting the best of you, pray. Get God in on the fight. Why? Because he will, I promise you, he will deliver you from yourself and set you free from those addictions that you still might be fighting tonight. Get God on the fight. Get your cover up. This is your cover up. Let him pray for you.
Yes.
Oh, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, I got about 10 minutes. That's it. I'll stop venting and started praying because I don't need sympathy. I need his strength. Quit being a crybaby. Quit being a whiner. Quit being a complainer. Prayerlessness is an expression of humanism and atheism. It signals annihilation from God. Samuel Chadwick, you know I like to read. He said, the one concern of the devil is to keep Christians from praying. He fears nothing from prayerless studies, prayerless work, and prayerless religion. He laughs at our toil, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when we pray. When you finally realize, ladies and gentlemen, well, let's say all of us. Okay, all of us. When we finally push past the flesh, prolonged prayer becomes sweet. Give yourself to prayer. Why? Because somebody out there needs you. You just might be their answer. You ever prayed, Lord, me? You ever prayed, Lord? This is another lesson I learned also. Lord, please prepare me for what I'm praying for. See, I learned it in Gethsemane, so I learned to kind of dress it up a different way. I'm being honest. I want to be prepared, but please, I don't want to go that route again, okay? It's just me. If I pray, watch this. I pray, I don't mishandle what I prayed for. Because most of the time, if God really answered your prayers, or some of them at least, you will not be able to handle the answer. You would drift from God. I give you case after case. Back south, where I'm from. Sometimes the answer to your prayer is in the instruction from God that you don't want to submit to. Okay, I'm gonna quit here. I ain't hearing a whole lot of ouches nowhere. Give me some hallelujahs and amens. God may have already given you an answer. You just don't like it because it requires you to do something that you have no desire to do. Still want some of your prayers answered? Man, I'm challenging you tonight. Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for the times that I read about Gethsemane, and forgive Lamas for the times that I preach on Gethsemane with dry eyes. You must decide, ladies and gentlemen. You must decide how much of God you want and how much of yourself you are willing to give. So many people, especially during this pandemic, so many people have lost faith in praying. Situations, heartaches, life hurts, co-worker hurts, church hurts, I'm sorry. Folks, you can't, and I messed this one up, you can't realize, or you can't do anything about who hurts you, but you can control how long it haunts you. Right. Amen. Leonard Ravenhill, a man may study because his brain is hungry for knowledge, even Bible knowledge, but he prays because his soul is hungry for God. I come to realize, even for my family, some people will never be happy for you because they can't be happy for themselves. What do you do? I'm going to give you an answer. Pray for them. Pray for them. Huh? Pray for them. And okay, 3 minutes. Oh Lord, help me. we gotta pray. The young king, Joash, came to the private chamber of the prophet Elisha. And he taught him a great lesson that public victories are first won in the private chamber. Your public platform will never be larger than your private altars. You can put on a prayer shawl all you want, but you can't buy a prayer life. Huh? Sometimes if you're like me, you got to look in the mirror and tell yourself, shut up and do it God's way. Micromanager, oh, why would you keep saying that for? When your life is out of order, the word and prayer will bring you to your senses and repentance. If we are afraid, we're going to pray in a minute. Watch. If we are afraid to exercise boldness in prayer, we'll never experience great effects from prayer. Bitterness will affect and paralyze your effectiveness for God. You must master bitterness or it will master you and it will eventually destroy you. Get in your prayer closet. Get in your prayer closet. When the enemy comes in like a flood, we need to stand against it with prayers and the word of God. What is the word of God? Quote, unquote. It is written. It is written. It is written. It is. You hear that, devil? You hear that, enemy? It is written. And I close. Matthew 26:41. Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Mark 14:34. My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch. Verse 38. Watch ye pray lest ye enter into temptation. The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. Luke 22:40. Pray that ye enter not into temptation. Verse 46. Why sleep ye? Rise and pray lest ye enter into temptation. Acts 12:5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Jeremiah 32:16-25. Don't have time to go there. I just kind of mentioned it. The apostles had this instinct. When intimidated, pray. When in trouble, pray. When you and I are challenged, pray. When we're persecuted, pray. When it's good, pray. When it's bad, pray. When it's not convenient, pray. When it's convenient, pray. That's changing your world through prayer. Let's stand. Why? Because prayer with some fasting prepares and conditions your spirit to go the distance in life's battle. And by the way, don't forget to pray when things are going well. You must learn to sow seeds of prayer. The prayer room is the room of power. A little time with God in prayer can change your destiny. Lord, let me lead today to someone. Lead me to someone who is spiritually hungry, ready to hear about you. Let me be the answer to somebody's prayer. Yes. Amen. Yes. As you can tell, you know, I am intense about prayer. I'm not the greatest preacher in the world. I'm not the most eloquent or orator in the world. But I'm trying to be some prayer. Some prayer. No wonder I have all this stuff, Brother Glover. Amen. You know, I don't mean to be saying it wrong. And I don't mean no harm. All the evangelists, they can have all the soul-winning revivals they want to. They can have all, Sister Gloria, they can have all that. And that's good because I like to see souls saved and all that. But God's given me a mandate, Brother Gloria, and you know that, and you've been so kind year in and year in, year in, year out, year in, to, you know, And you do a lot of prayer. You do, you know, because this is a praying church. But he's giving me this mandate. So I have to be honest. I don't have a lot of soul winning revivals. But if we can get some of us to pray, Bishop, then whoever comes behind us, we're going to have the souls. We're going to have souls. Why? Because Sterling Pentecostal Church is a praying church. It's a corporate body that believes in miracles, signs, and wonders. And the Holy Spirit is calling the church into purification. This requires being honest and exposing your heart to Him that He may reprove, correct, refine, and heal it. If you want to start walking in the reality of His power and glory, you'll need to put your heart in order. Ladies and gentlemen, prayer is the order of the day. Prayer is the order of the day. Oh, prayer is the order of the day. So why don't we right now, why don't we make our way to an old-fashioned altar or wherever you feel comfortable with, and why don't we just pray? Because I believe right now, right now, He's calling us to prayer. He's calling us to pray. Just spend a few moments in His presence.